Hey, if you want to support this show, go to patreon.com/Steve Charney for $1 a month. I'll take less, I'll take more. You can support this program and show that you're a real fan. Okay, on with the show! Yo! Bob Erman is talking about Saturn on this most excellent podcast, Conversations with My Dummy. I'm Steve Charney, your amiable host, and he's continuing our series on the planets because I love science, I love astronomy, and he's the guy to bring it to you. If you miss the other planets, go back to previous podcasts and check them out. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, and Jupiter. Bob's a writer for the Old Farmer's Almanac and has written so many wonderful books on the cosmos. I recommend finding them on Amazon or in your local bookstores. You won't be sorry. He makes complex concepts easy to understand and fun, too. I don't know what Harry's up to, though. What's all this merchandise, my friend? You having a yard sale or something?
Everything in here is going for a buck.
Everything.
Everything. Come on, not everything. Yes, everything. This piece of paper, is that going for a dollar here? Huh? Yes, but it's only worth a penny. Well, that's irrelevant, isn't it? Oh, shh. My first customer. May I help you, please?
Yes, I would like a toothpick.
Okay, we have one right here.
How much is it?
A buck.
That's outrageous!
Look, buddy, if you don't want to spend a dollar, don't come into a dollar store. Capiche?
Everything in here is a dollar?
Everything.
How about this box of toothpicks?
A buck.
So one toothpick is a buck, and this box of toothpicks is a buck.
Hello? Am I talking to the wall here? Are you getting anything I'm saying? Yes, it's a dollar. Now, do you want something or are you just wasting my time?
I'll take the box of toothpicks.
That'll be $1, sir.
There you go.
Thank you. Jeez, some people can be so difficult sometimes. You know what I mean, Steve?
Well, it's just hard to understand that everything is a dollar.
What's so difficult about it? It's the simplest thing in the world. It's a lot simpler than having all kinds of different prizes, isn't it? Huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Hello, may I help you? Oh, yes, I'm just browsing. Well, browse away. It all costs a dollar. Yes, I see that. How about this CD player? $1.
Hey, that's my CD player. I was going to play CDs with it.
Let me handle this, Steve. Yes, that CD is $1. I'll take it. There's your dollar, and there's your CD player, lady. Thank you so much. You're very kind. Thank you. Bye-bye.
But that was my CD player.
Look, Steve, I'm trying to do my business here, huh?
Well, how do you expect to make any money if you're going to sell CD players for a dollar?
I'll make it up in volume. Volume. Ooh, someone else. Yes?
Yeah. I'm looking for a rocket ship. I saw you had one around the back.
Oh, we do?
Mm-hmm. And how much does it cost?
What's the name of this store? What does the sign say outside?
Dollar store.
So how much do you think the rocket ship is?
A dollar.
Ooh, you're a bright one.
Here.
And here are the keys. I hope you're going to take it home with you right now.
Yeah, okay, I will. Thank you very much.
Harry, that rocket ship must be worth over $100 million.
So, what's your point?
You just sold it for a dollar.
Well, it would be unethical for me to sell it for any less. After all, this is a dollar store.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there he goes.
Joining me now, as promised, is Bob Berman. Bob Berman, the astronomer. You're qualified for doing this. I think.
It's good to be here.
We're in the middle of our continuing series on the planets. We've dealt with Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, and now we're going to be talking about
what many regard as the most beautiful planet of them all, Saturn. Of course, we think of the rings right away, but most people don't realize what the rings are made of. And for centuries, people were trying to figure out, are they solid? Are they chunks of something? Are they gases? Is it like a smoke ring? And now we know they are chunks of ice. Just plain, ordinary ice.
That's it.
Yeah, the same stuff you've got in your freezer.
How come we can see them from the Earth, then?
Because they're so vast, they're almost almost 100,000 miles across, but very, very thin, only a mile thick. So when Saturn turns its rings edgewise to us, which it does every 15 years or so, they vanish. And we suddenly see a planet without rings. And they're made up of lots and lots of little ringlets, rings inside of rings. And lots of moons, too. Saturn is the winner in the solar system with 17 moons. If you've got kind of an old book on the planets, you'll see it says 9. And then back in 1966, a 10th was discovered. But all of a sudden, when Voyager went there, we found lots of new ones. So 17 moons on Saturn.
If you were actually standing on the surface of Saturn and looked up, would you see the rings? Would you see the moons? Would it really be incredible to look at?
It would be really incredible, except for one problem. There is no surface. Saturn has a gassy, cloudy atmosphere, and as you went down deeper and deeper, the clouds would get thicker and thicker until suddenly you'd find yourself not in clouds anymore, but kind of in a thin, liquidy material. And then that liquid would get thicker and thicker. It would be a little bit like melting snow, wet snow, and you'd never reach a surface.
What's the temperature of Saturn like?
Oh, cold, several hundred degrees below zero. Although as you go deeper and deeper, you get to an odd thing. It gets warmer and warmer. And Saturn, like Jupiter, is a place where it gives off more heat than it gets from the sun. So it's got its own energy source. As you went down and down, you'd finally reach a level that was comfortable, at least in temperature, but it wouldn't be comfortable to be there because it's made up of things like methane, which is swamp gas, and ammonia. You know how bad ammonia smells. So you'd be clean, but you'd be unhappy.
It sounds like it might be possible for life to be on Saturn, somewhere deep down in one of those layers.
Maybe if it didn't need a lot of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. We don't know.
Now,
for sure.
I remember you once mentioned that on Earth, where life is only like a couple of miles either way. You've got this huge planet, which is thousands of miles thick, and yet there's this very small level where life...
That's right. Some scientists call that the biosphere.
So is it possible that on Saturn, there just might be a thin layer somewhere around Saturn that everything balances out and there would
be
life?
There could be. In the case of Jupiter and Saturn, what at one time sounded outrageous, and that is life being there, doesn't sound quite so outrageous anymore. We still think it's unlikely, but who knows?
Hmm.
So Saturn is a place we'd love to return to and explore a little bit more. But for now, we'll have to be content with looking at it through telescopes. And even a small telescope shows the rings. Anyone who looks at it will tell you it's one of the most beautiful objects in the universe.
Thanks a lot, Bob Berman. And on our continuing series on the planets, and next week we deal with
Uranus.
Uranus.
Let's pronounce it right.
Yes, Uranus. Thank you very much, Bob.
My pleasure.
Harry has opened up a dollar store. Everything in here. Everything in this store, right in here, too bad you can't see it, but it's pretty stocked, is gone for a dollar. A toothpick is a dollar. But a box of toothpicks is also a dollar. He sold my CD player for a dollar. A rocket ship for a dollar. How do you expect to make any money, huh? Well, what are you talking about? Look at this, Steve. I already have $3. I didn't have at the beginning of the show. But you... never mind. Another customer. Hello, may I help you?
I need 50 cents.
Well, I have two quarters right here.
Mm-hmm. How much will that cost?
A dollar!
Thank you. Here you go. Okay. Bye-bye!
Wow, you just sold 50 cents for a dollar. I'm impressed. Well, I couldn't sell it for any less, Steve. You know, on account of the name of the store. Yeah, I understand. Hello?
Yes, I need $5.
Hey, wait a second. Weren't you just in here?
No. That must have been my twin brother.
Oh, okay. In that case, I'll sell you $5.
How much does it cost?
A dollar!
Thank you. Okay, here's my dollar here.
Mm-hmm. And here's your $5.
Okay. So long! Sucker!
Hey, he just called you a sucker. I know. What can I do, Steve? It's a dollar store. But in a way, I came out ahead. Hey, look, Steve. I have a dollar. It's quite a store you have here. It's a dollar store! All right, Harry. All right, Harry, I've had just about enough. What? What's the gimmick? What do you mean? I mean, you have something up your sleeve. What? Everything you're selling is stolen, is that it? Oh, I resent that remark. All right, it's all made out of cardboard, so really even the rocket ship was worth less than a buck. No. It's all my stuff you're selling.
Uh-uh.
These dollar bills are actually a rare 1942 print, and the dollars appear that that's all they are, but actually they're worth millions.
Huh?
What's your game?
Game? There's no game. It's a dollar store.
I don't know, man. I know there's some gimmick.
Hello. I'd like a gold-encrusted crown with $1 million worth of diamonds on it. Do you have that in stock?
Yeah, it's right here below the counter. That'll be $1, please.
Oh, thank you. How does it look?
Oh, it looks beautiful on your head.
Thank you very much.
See? See?
What see?
You just sold $1 million crown for $1. What's the purpose of that? You gain nothing from it and lose quite a bit.
So?
So what? What?
So what if I do lose? I'm making people happy.
That's it. That's the reason for all this. To make people happy.
Uh-huh.
So why don't you make it a dime store?
Hey, I'm kind, but I'm not that kind. Look, Stevie, it's $4 I made. Why don't I treat you to a milkshake?
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I still think there must be a gimmick.
Imagine all the people living in a dream. You might...
They were climbing up Everest when the lead Sherpa poised.
Shh! Please be quiet. Don't make any noise. If you don't want an avalanche killing us, please.
They all were quite safe until somebody sneezed and sang so long. It's been good to know you.
So long. It's been very, very good to know you.
So long, it's been good to know ya. I don't think I'll have time to finish this song.
And we've got to be moving along.
The ship was at sea, afloat with the tide, when a few sharks swam by and bit a hole in the side. As the poor ship went under, the sharks closed their circle. You could hear the brave captain a-startin' to gurgle. The roaches had covered the ceiling and floor. They were singing and dancing as I strode through the door. I picked up the spray and I waved it about. They said,
"Sorry to bug you, but we'll let ourselves out. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. We may be petite, but we surely ain't dumb. We gotta be drifting along."
The world was a mess, and the countries bereft. We'd abused our environment till nothing was left. As the last man looked up at the stars close to death, he sang this sad song as he drew his last breath. He sang, "So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. This crazy old world was once a good home, and I gotta be drifting along."
Okay, well, huh? The dollar store isn't open anymore.
It's open, Steve, but there haven't been any customers, so, you know, what can I do?
All right. Now what are we doing?
Ah! Now it's time for Untrue Facts!
Wait a second. Are you saying that all these facts that you're about to read are untrue?
That's right.
But the definition of a fact is that it's true.
Well, it's a fact that these are untrue, see? Now do you see the logic, huh?
Just read.
All right, right. Start with the first one here. This is interesting. Did you know that over 100 years ago, judges gave real sentences?
What do you mean?
I mean that if a crime was committed, the judge would give the criminal, a convicted criminal, a sentence. Like, Tom runs fast. The criminal would have to carry the sentence around in his wallet for a month or two. If it was a big crime, he'd get a longer sentence, sometimes running on for half a page. If it was a misdemeanor, well, it could be as short as two or three words. Bill sees Sally. See? It changed after the scandal of 32, when they found that many judges were being corrupted. They would reduce known criminal sentences from 40 words down to like 10 if they got paid enough. Some of the more infamous judges ended up knocking a sentence down to one word. Predicate would just be implied, like run or go. Well, the Act of 1884 totally reformed the whole system, and now criminals go to jail when they commit crimes instead of just, you know, getting sentences.
That's not only untrue, that's stupid.
Hey, I don't write them, I just read them.
You don't write them?
Well, maybe I write them too, but I don't like your implication.
It wasn't an implication, it was a true fact.
Aha! And only untrue facts are allowed on this segment, so your statement is meaningless. Now I'll go on. Few people realize, Steve, that the sky is not blue.
What? How so? How come the sky's not blue?
It's only the air in front of the sky that's blue that gives the sky a bluish appearance.
If the air is blue, then why doesn't the sun look blue too?
I don't have to answer that.
And why doesn't the sky at night look blue?
Because there's no air at night. Can we go on here, please?
Be my guest.
George Washington's real name was Cosmo Fenstermacher.
Get out of here. I don't believe that.
No reason why you should. Totally untrue.
Then why bring it up?
Because this is our untrue fact segment. Actually, a number of famous people have changed their names. For instance, did you know that Sylvester Stallone's real name is Melvin Burphead?
No, I didn't know that.
Uma Thurman was brought up as Millicent Fiddlehopper.
You don't say.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's real name is, get this, Steve, John Smith.
Well, wonders never cease.
Never! Now, here's an interesting untruth. The car was invented in ancient Egypt. It had four rubber tires, an internal combustion engine, and headlights. We're talking about like 3000 BC.
So why haven't we ever heard about it?
Well, the problem was it was designed to run on snow. That was the fuel. It was very difficult to get snow in ancient Egypt because they had no way of keeping it cold until they brought it south from the Arctic. It wasn't until the 1400s that a method was devised, and they finally managed to ship a few gallons of snow into Egypt. But unfortunately, by then, the car had blown a head gasket since it was over 2,000 years old by then, and it wasn't worth repairing.
And you say that this isn't worth the paper it's printed on?
It's untrue, if that's what you mean.
Okay.
Till 100 years ago, they thought that water was made from two parts hydrogen and one part Jell-O. If you look at old periodic tables, instead of O for oxygen, you see the letter J.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's a very interesting tidbit, Steve. In the equation E equals MC squared, the M does not stand for mass, as is commonly believed.
What does it stand for?
Melon ball. In truth, energy E equals melon ball times the speed of light squared.
Is that true?
Of course not. Neither is this. Lipstick used to actually be a stick. You'd poke yourself with it until your lips turned red, hence, lipstick.
What else?
All right. It's a little known fact that clouds have fallen on people and killed them. It happens rarely, but one must still be careful.
Is that it?
No, one more. The E in olden days could often be pronounced at the end of a word. So Kane, C-A-N-E, would be pronounced Caney. See? In the old days, they'd only pronounce it Caney, which makes sense. C-A-N-E, the E would be pronounced. This created lots of problems. Someone with a bum leg would go into a store and order a Caney. Well, of course, the clerk had no idea what he was talking about. I mean, what's a Caney? A man with a bad leg would say, you know, a Caney. Well, more often than not, he'd be thrown out of the store where he'd sit on the stoop until some generous soul would help him limp home. Only after they made the E silent at the end of words that things started making sense. Now, the same man could go back into the store and confidently ask for a cane and got it.
Now is that it?
For now, Steve. For now!
And that ends our Untrue Facts here. Untrue and Amazing Facts.
And that pretty much ends our show, too. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, on my YouTube channel. Just, you know, search for Steve Charney. Has lots of videos of me. And, of course, on Patreon.com/Steve Charney, you can become a patron of the show for $1 a month. My website, SteveCharney.com, has information about my live stage shows, how to contact me, all the stuff I got for sale, includes books and CDs, my bio. And on Facebook, search for Steve and Harry, Conversations with My Dummy. Like my Facebook page, that would be nice. And also, you know, I throw it up on Twitter, too. If you like this podcast, spread the word around, man. Spread the word around.
Yeah, Steve, wait, I got a question.
What?
Why do people point to their wrist when asking for the time?
Yeah.
But when they ask where the bathroom is, they don't point to their pants.